Lord, I just ask you to inspire me by your Spirit to be simply a vessel, an instrument, a conduit of the meaning of the Mass. Just allow us all to have a heightened understanding of the encounter that is at the heart of our worship, and to come to more fully appreciate the gift that the Holy Mass is. And we ask this with confidence, for we do so in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. 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 Friends, we've been talking for several weeks about an opportunity this Lent to grow an understanding of the Mass. For some of us, we were raised in Catholic homes, and we learned the actions and the words at the earliest of ages, that they became reflexes that go all the way back to our first memories. We know when to stand, we know when to sit, we know when to kneel, we know what to say. We even learned the new words to say a few years ago. Some of us even learned the English words when they were different from the Latin words. There are others of us, perhaps newer to the Catholic Christian faith, or maybe perhaps have been away for a while and through God's mercy have come to be reunited with us, for which we're so glad. And it's not as clear of exactly what to say and what to do and when to do it. Why do we go to Mass? It's a pretty important question. It wasn't anything that I answered profoundly when I was little. I went to Mass because my parents made me. I'd be lying if I told you it was a deeply spiritual reason. I was a little concerned to my father, who was 6'8", 280 pounds. And there was a lot of compliance in the family with behaviors. Though, as you've heard me say, if the truth be known, I was more on pins and needles with my mom, who's 5'2", than I ever was with my dad. You know, but we went because that's what we did as family. That's the reason. Though there came a point in life when that question was asked. For me, it was a question that was asked maybe initially in college, and then subsequently for several years after that. I mean, really, why do we go? Why do I go? Why do I go? Why are we here? Because when we enter into an event knowing why we're there, it heightens the meaning of the event. In fact, when we go to something and we're unsure why we're there, the confusion itself can really move us to kind of keep a distance. I'm going to just kind of hang out in the corner, let me know if you need anything. But when we know why we're there, and when we anticipate going to the event, there's an engagement that we bring to whatever it is that's happening. I mean, we go for two reasons. We go because the Lord Himself has told us to do that. And no less than Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, He gives the instruction to His followers, that's us, that we are to do this in remembrance of Him. And what is the this? The this is the miracle on Holy Thursday, in which bread became body and wine became blood, His body, blood, soul, and divinity broken and poured out for us. We do it because we've been instructed to do that. Then we see in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2, and we see later in chapter 20, that the community itself who gathered did so following the instructions of the Lord in a way that their worship or their prayer was the Eucharist. So in the earliest church, the instruction was given and the response was made to Jesus, meaning what He said and saying what He meant. And we come to Mass for a second reason, which is not second in importance, just in organization, to encounter God. We don't merely come to give worship and praise of God, which is a noble thing to do and an important thing to do because he's deserving of our worship and our praise. But you know what? We can do that anywhere. We can do that in nature. We can do that in our homes. We can do that with friends. We can do that with those we don't know as well. We can give worship and praise to God. We come here to encounter the living God. And we do so in a variety of ways through the community that assembles, through the word that is proclaimed for us, and for the sacrament, which miraculously happens and is given to us. It's no less than God who wishes for us to encounter him. When I'm aware of why I go to Mass, it makes a difference. It just does. When I'm not as aware of it and I kind of shuffle in, the danger is to not present myself for the encounter that God wishes to have happen. And when we work our way inside, the very first thing that we typically do, or that many of us, it's a reflex, no sooner do we come in through a door than we look for holy water. Am I the only one who does that? And we put our finger in it, we make the sign of the cross. And maybe we're even making the sign of the cross and not even aware that we kind of did it, but we did it. And the moment that we enter into the church, the moment that the community begins to assemble, we are reminding ourselves with the holy water itself. This is not superstition or magic. We're reminding ourselves of a sacred covenant into which we have been placed through our own baptism. That is God's word, which is irrevocable, and his relentless pursuit of us. He's got skin in the game with us in our baptism. And it's a reminder to us of this partnership and relationship that's been forged. A reminder of a relationship that is not conditioned on my actions, as the divine love doesn't place conditions. And then I work my way, you know, into the church, and we are as accustomed as Catholic Christians in our places of worship, in knowing that the presence of the Lord abides in a most remarkably concrete way in the sacrament itself that dwells therein, that tabernacles, if you will. We usually don't use that as a verb, but as a noun. And we rightly reverence the presence of the Lord when we enter into the church and where we exit. For those who are able, a genuflection is customarily that reverence. For those who are not able, it's no less reverent to bow or to acknowledge the presence of the Lord and our joy in being before the Lord. What's most important is not posture, it's our mind and our heart being sincere that we're placing ourselves before God, anticipating the encounter with God. That in our best moments we know it's not our making it happen, it's our allowing it to be done unto us. And then we might take a moment to just present something to the Lord privately before the worship begins, our liturgy begins, our common prayer begins. There might be something really troubling, and when we come in, it gives us the chance to just not continue to try to solve it politically, but okay, Lord, I can't handle this anymore. Or I want to share with you again this great joy that happened in my life. Whatever it may be, it's all about preparing ourselves for the encounter with God. So it's appropriate for us to be mindful of the fact that those around us are similarly trying to prepare. Doesn't mean to be cold or aloof at all, but to just be mindful. Mindful. Yeah. It's not the time to be talking in a way that's going to be really disruptive or distracting or superficial. There's a time and a place for all that stuff, but I don't want to do that right before I enter into this grand event of encountering no less than the living God. And maybe I see someone who appears to have some burdens placed upon her or upon him, and maybe I just whisper one on their behalf too. I don't even know their name, Lord, but it looks like someone could use your help. All of this, and we haven't even started the Mass, huh? Which usually commences with an opening hymn. An opening hymn, and the assembly does what? The assembly stands. There's an attentiveness that standing brings about. And believe it or not, the opening hymn is not selected randomly, where Tom just simply asks a member of the choir what their favorite song is, and they say, well, I don't really like this song, but this number is my favorite number, so let's just do that one today. You know, there's nothing about that, that the hymn, I don't think there is. The hymn is a prayer. It's a prayer. The song is a prayer. And it is marvelously and thoughtfully and prayerfully selected in a way that it helps to enhance the primary teachings of the Scripture, or it helps to enhance the season in which we are in, to help us to enter into this encounter with the living God. That it's not just something that is done in order for some of the people to get to the back, up to the front, but the assembly gathers and stands and prays in a way that helps to unify the assembly. I might mention, I didn't do this before, but if you haven't seen this, I did this intentionally this week, and it might be helpful because I'm just speaking about the introductory rites. And I just simply list kind of the major ones in the beginning of the Mass, getting us to the Liturgy of the Word. I cannot believe I have never asked people to take out the bulletin during Mass. But it might be helpful. And half of you have already done it anyways. Then, after the entrance hymn, there is the sign of the cross which the assembly makes. And the sign of the cross itself is a statement of faith. It says, when I make the sign of the cross, I'm making a profession of faith in the one true God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm placing myself under the reign of this God who has revealed Father, Son, and Spirit to me. The one true God. And a further unification of the assembly who collectively does that. That we are God's. This isn't come and let us worship each other. This is come and let us worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the greeting that we say, which always echoes the words of St. Paul, there are different options that are available. Most customarily, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. It's a blessing, actually. I mean, if I really slow down and think about that, to say the Lord be with you or to receive the Lord be with you from another, it's a blessing. It's an extension of divine grace that we are wishing one another and all of us collectively to experience and to savor from the very beginning. And then we move into what formally is called the penitential rite. This is an opportunity just for us to be able to take a moment to present ourselves as we are to the living God. God already knows, but it helps us to slow down and to realize I'm not on equal footing with God. That try as I may, I fall short of that mark. And I deeply desire for this encounter today at Mass to be especially meaningful and profound. And to do that, I acknowledge that I need God. I haven't earned God. I haven't earned God's favor at all. But I need the divine mercy. And there's different variations on how the penitential rite itself might be prayed. We did one today that is not as common, though really evokes the Lenten season. Sometimes it's, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And the repetition, as we know, though distracting to some perhaps, for others of us, it can really help us to enter into what we're doing. There's some of us that just need a couple of takes to kind of focus and to enter in, that we don't get it right away. And then on Sundays, except during Advent and Lent, Sundays and holy days, the Gloria is prayed. And it's customarily sung. It's meant to be sung because once again, just like all of the other aspects of the Mass up to this point, there are connections with sacred scripture, and it is the heralding of the good news by the angels on the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. And so too do we utter those same words, customarily singing joyously, muted in Lent and in Advent because of the spirit of these seasons, which are more penitential in preparing us for the glorious events of Easter and of Christmas, respectively. And then the opening prayer, formally called the Collect. And, you know, in a sense, it collects the prayers of the assembly of us. It does so in a way that connects it to the theme of the season and to a leading motif of the readings. When we listen carefully and pray wholeheartedly the words of the opening prayer, it moves us into the liturgy of the word. It gives us an anticipation of some aspect of God's truth that we will hear proclaimed in the readings. And then we exert acclamation to that prayer with amen, a word that is used throughout our liturgy, a word that means so be it. Sort of an exclamation point in my mind as an image, that though the opening prayer may be voiced by one person, by the priest, it's the prayer of the assembly, who in a unified voice exclaims, yes, yes. Let that prayer be realized. And then for the first time in our prayer, in our liturgy at Mass, then we sit, preparing ourselves to hear God's word proclaimed. Next week, we'll have the opportunity to consider more about the power of the proclamation of God's word. Really the heart of our praise and worship of God in Mass. Because there's a lot of it that we hear. But for now, I'd like to just stop there. Grateful for the opportunity to speak reflectively about why we do what we do. Inviting you to continue to learn more about why we do what we do. And coming to appreciate even more fully the magnificence of this encounter with the living God. That is the reason that we come to Mass.